We also want to pray for Dave and Sarah and their family. Dave's had a niece pass away this week. I believe, is that why you're home, Harlan? Yeah. Isn't it good to have Harlan in the service this morning? Amen. But unfortunately, he's here because they lost a loved one. And so this whole front pew right here needs prayer in their family. So, Father, we ask a blessing on them, that you will just touch them today and be with them. Lord, just comfort their hearts, give them peace and strength to get through this day. And, Lord, I pray for this family just would get an extra special blessing from you. Through the years, Lord, it just seems like the struggles are very difficult at times. I ask right now, God, for victories. I ask for triumphs. I ask for blessing. God, that you give them an assurance that, yes, you are in control. And that, Lord, from this day forth, they will be blessed. They will have a season, Lord God, of joy. Father, all these things that have taken place in the past, and then most recently this week, this loss of a loved one, I just pray, Father, that you will show them your love like you never have before. Bless them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I believe there's a service later today, 2 o'clock at the Methodist, United Methodist Church in Waterloo. Amen. So it's going to be a difficult day for Dave and Sarah. So if you think of it before you leave, hug their necks, love on them. If you plan on going to the service, I'm sure they would be blessed. Amen. Praise the Lord. As I mentioned, my wife and I came down with something last night. I don't know what it is, but wow, I hit the sickness jackpot last night. In other words, I had stuff coming out of me from everywhere. Oh God! And so if I didn't greet you this morning, be happy. You don't want this. I didn't even wake up my wife. I let her sleep because I don't think she slept much all night. So anyway, be praying for us as well, that we just be feeling better. Also be praying for Laura, who's traveling back home to go through her mother's things and get their house in order over there. And I know that she needs prayer, and I know that she needs God's strength and peace in her life to get through all of that. And I just pray for her that she'll find this to be a wonderful experience. You know, not that she would just be devastated by it all, but somehow God would just speak life into her and enjoy and just make it a really blessed time for her as she's over there. And so, again, keep them in prayer as well. Amen. I hoped somebody was going to be here this morning to share a testimony, but they're not. And so I didn't plan a whole lot. And so being that I'm sick and I was up all night, I'm kind of winging it today. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but God did give me a verse. But before we go there, I want to just ask, does anybody really just love to just testify? What's God done in your life this week? Is anybody? God do something awesome for you? I want to hear it. Yes, Gloria. Awesome. Timing is everything. Amen. Anyone else? Yes, Tammy. Nice and loud, please. Amen. If my prayers will heal the sick when I'm sick, I'll come sick more often. I'll fight through it. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else like to share something this morning? I could tell you looked like you had something on your heart.
I haven't had too much work in probably 3 months or more. A little bit here, a little bit there. And the game of it is, it's like a feast of famine. And now we can pile it right on top of it.
Awesome. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead.
I had time. I had a job Thursday, Friday, and worked out the world. We got most of it done Thursday. It's like I took my med.
Amen. There is a, I don't know if y'all know it or not. I'm going to just, and I don't think it's a secret, so I think it's okay to say, but there is a bond between that grandfather and this grandson that goes beyond many of those grandson and son and grandfather relationships. And I just think that's awesome. And so thanks for sharing that, Dave. I know that meant a lot to you, and I know it meant a lot to you too. Harley, thank you for what you're doing for us. We really do appreciate it. Amen. Ashley, you want to say something? know, that is awesome. You don't interrupt court. Unless the Spirit of the Lord is on you. I wouldn't suggest anybody do that. Unless the Spirit of the Lord is on you. There's a verse in Daniel. I happen to, this is, like I said, this is one of those wing it Sundays. I happen to open my Bible here, and I have a little paraphrase, a little parentheses around half of a verse here. That it's actually Daniel had a dream about Nebuchadnezzar. In the second half of Daniel chapter 4, verse 25, toward the end, I mean, if you start at the beginning of 25, he's talking about, you know, how God's going to drive Nebuchadnezzar out. But the end of that verse, I have a little caption around it. It says, "Know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses." The testimony that Ashley just shared, it fit that verse. The Lord rules over the kingdoms of men, and he gives it to whomever he chooses. The Lord rules over the kingdoms of men, and he gives it to whoever he chooses. Father, I pray you give it to us. Lord, you rule over these kingdoms. I thank you for this testimony, Lord, where standing before courts, you rule. Lord, I pray that you give to the church power. I pray that you give to the church, Lord God, this nation. Father, you put us here for a purpose, and it's not for us to be defeated and pushed down and pushed back. But Lord, you put us here for the purpose of advancing your kingdom. And so, God, I pray that you give us this nation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Now, how many know that? Ah, boy, I don't want to go there. This nation is at a crossroads right now. There's a Supreme Court nominee that, you know what? The Lord rules over the kingdoms of men. We don't have to fear. You know that? I had a guy, I don't know if you saw it, I came across a video of a preacher talking about, stop running around in fear, you're scaring the children, it said. You know, we're all a fuss because the candidates are what they are, and this is being said, and that's being said, and oh my gosh, if we don't get the right person in office, if we don't get a believer in office, if we don't get somebody who stands for the things we stand for, what about this court nomination? Who's going to, you know, it could go the wrong way, and then we're all doomed. What? The Lord rules over the kingdoms of men. And he gives it to whom he chooses. You know what? They could put all the wrong people in office that we think, oh my, they're the wrong ones. They could put all the wrong people in office and God will still have his way. Amen? This election season has got people, I got caught up in a little bit. I'll do a little debate here and there. But you know, the truth of it is there people are all running around and all crazy and all, oh, look at what this one said. Oh, look what that one said. Are you crazy? Why would you vote for this and that? It's like, would you please? Who's in charge? God is. My Bible tells me that Jesus Christ is the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. And we don't have anything to fear. But I do ask that you pray. Yeah, there's battles being fought in the political realm today. Our job is to pray. Yeah, vote. Well, be a voter, okay. But pray. Let God lead you. Vote for the one that God put your heart to vote for. But pray. First and foremost. Amen. Sure, go ahead, brother.
Unless you have a message.
Nice and loud.
Yeah, I've just been, we can find great metaphors and allegories for our walk, for our faith, and a lot of what we do. One of the things, obviously, I do work in vineyards, so it's interesting because the Bible, Jesus spoke a lot about how vineyards were a great metaphor for our lives, for what we should be doing, and it really
brother. Are we taping? Here, could you give him this? Oh, he'll come up. Somehow I knew somebody had a word for us today. Speak right into that, please.
All right. So for anyone who doesn't know, a lot of the vines that we grow don't grow with their own roots. They grow on a graft. And they do that because if you were to plant these vines in these soils, it's a root louse, but it's an enemy of the vine that seeks to destroy that vine. And so what we have to do is take these vine species that come from Europe and graft them onto a different rootstock that can defeat that root louse and defeat that disease. And so almost every vine you see when you're driving down and see vineyards all over the world now, they have this graft. And to me, that graft really is a symbol for Jesus, amen, for being saved. And so as I'm out there and it's cold, it really gives a good strength, because without that graft, that vine's going to die. And it might not happen tomorrow, and it might not happen next season, but it's not going to make it. And so the whole process of the graft is about making sure that the two vines fuse together and that it's defended. And as it goes on, it may have that graft, and it may be growing in that vineyard, but it faces a lot of issues. It still faces disease from other vectors. It still faces all sorts of things. And in fact, when we're out there this time of year, the vine has gone wild. You know, there's canes everywhere. And if you weren't to go into the vineyard and prune those canes, eventually it would overgrow its own root structure, and it would no longer bear fruit. We've probably all seen this in especially those old Concord vineyards, where you have a vine in your backyard. If you aren't cutting it back, the fruit production diminishes until it's just sort of taking up space. As we go in there and you're cutting vines this time of year, and it's getting a little warmer, you can actually see what we call flow. Those canes that get chopped off, and if you aren't used to doing it, it looks brutal, because you take something that looks like it's flourished and you cut it down to about 3 to 5 different just little canes. But the flow actually causes what almost look like tears, because it drips out of the ends. And the only thing I kept thinking is, this vine thought that it was growing great and it produced great fruit last year. And I've had to go in and cut off all of this growth, and the vine's crying. But what's happening is it's providing the basis for it to grow strong again this year, for it to produce fruit again this year and over a longer term. So I just go back. It's one of the oldest metaphors in the Bible, but it really is the case that we have to go. There's a season for everything. There's a season for growth. There's a season for harvest. There's a season to be stricken. There's a season to be struck back, to be cut back, to face disease and to overcome it. And, you know, I know we've got it all in different areas of life, but when you're driving past that vineyard, I think you can just remember that it is a symbol for what Jesus did for us. Amen. He saved us from the disease of this earth, and he helps us through those periods and struggles where we get cut and stricken and survive and flourish and produce fruit. So.
Amen. That was wow. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. Well, that'll give you a different perspective about adversity. What? Yeah? Amen. You know, if we could just get that. If you're struggling with adversity, go hang out with him. Go trim some vines. And get that picture in your head. If we would get the idea that, you know what, I'm going through a trial, I'm going through a struggle, it's really tough, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's like everything I've done, it's all gone. All this growth that I had, it's like it's all cut off now. But if we get in our heads the purpose of it, it's so that we can become stronger, it's so that we can bear even better fruit the next year, or through in the next season. If we could just get that through our heads that, you know what, God is doing something in me that is going to make me greater. How many of us go through adversity and it's like, God, why are you beating up on me again? Right? I mean, just be honest. I was talking with a couple young ladies the other day, and it's like, well, why did God do this and why did God do that? Blaming God for this, for different things in their lives. It's like, maybe because he wants you to become stronger. Maybe because if you keep going the way you are, like he said, you're just running wild. How many of us, we've all run wild at times, right? Yeah. How fruitful is that? Yeah. And then we usually run wild till we get to that place where God's got to get his pruning shears out and say, okay, it's time to cut this back a little bit. Right? Man, that was good, brother. Thank you for that. Amen. Didn't come from you, but it came through you. Amen. Every good thing. Yes, Carol. Hold on. You got to have this. Yes. Who's our runner? That's all right. That one thing is worth hearing. Thank you, Harley. Talk right in that.
Thank you.
It's anointed this morning. Once you get that mic in your hand.
All right. No, I was just thinking that Chris said it's a season. If we would remember, amen, which I'm guilty, when you have an adversity of whatever it is, if it's a physical thing or whatever it is, you know, you have it for a long time. You might think it'll never get over. You just accept it and you go on with it. But when he said it's a season, I'm going to buy that.
Amen.
This is a season. This will pass. I think sometimes we lose that sight that it will pass. You're just going through a season. And come out better at the other end of it. You know?
Amen. Morning lasts for the night, but joy comes in the morning.
I know. My mother always said that. She always said that. But sometimes the nights are long and dark and whatever.
Yeah, last night
you
was
know,
a long
one. But, and the other thing is, when Ashley was telling her story there, the only thing I could think of when she said that was she was acting like Jesus in that courtroom. She paid that fine.
Amen.
That person couldn't pay. Plain and simple. She's acting like Jesus in the courtroom. Amen, girl.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And I might as well keep on going.
Well, you might as well.
Seeing as you, I wasn't going to say this, and I won't go into detail, but Thursday I had a day, and it started with one thing after another. These were one problem after another. And I was a little bit overwhelmed. And we started driving down to Waterloo, and I said, okay, this is it. I can't handle no more. Stop at the doctor's office. Let me go in and just see when I can get in to see him because I can't deal with this. So we stopped. This is just a spur of the moment. This doctor I go to, but you just don't pop in. You have to make an appointment. You're going to have to wait weeks to get in. So I popped in. I don't care. So I'm talking to the girl at the desk, and she's like, well, you know, I can't get you in till, you know, weeks away, whatever. Meanwhile, I'm having this misery. And then she was going to put me with another doctor that I didn't even know. I don't even know this other one. I go to this other one that's booked up solid from now to who knows when. So I says, well, whatever you got to do, give me the soonest appointment with whoever. I have to see somebody. I got to do something. So she did. She hands me the card and whatever, and I turned around to get my coat and whatever. Well, my doctor, the one I've seen for years, comes down the hall, comes in the office, looks at me limping, says something to the girl. Next thing I know, the girl comes over and says, I'll take you right back to a room. Oh, good. Let's go back to our room. You know, so I got seen right then.
Thank you, Lord.
Diagnosed, treatment, you know, given and whatever. On the spur of the moment, I just said, Lord, I got to do something. I can't deal with this jazz anymore. So then we get in the car. I got this. Now I'm all set there for now. We start down the road. And I bit into an M&M, and half of my tooth come out in my hand. I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, I just, like, this is not a good day. So I says to him, well, stop at the dentist. I'm going to go in and see what I can do about that, because what am I going to do with a stupid tooth now? I'll never get in the dentist. First of all, he's not even in Waterloo on Thursday, and you have to wait and whatever. So I go in, talk to the girl at the window, and she says, well, you know he's not here today. I say, I know. When can I see him? You know. So she's looking, and of course it's a far off date, whatever. She says, well, I could put you in with this other doctor. He just had a cancellation just before I walked in the door.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
I don't know this guy, but fix it. I don't care. You know? So I go right in, and he fixed the tooth. I mean, come on. You know, God is good.
Amen.
Then I had a third problem, which I won't go into, but it got solved that very day. That day. Huh. That day. I'm like, you know, okay. I was overwhelmed. I had all this stuff, but the timing is something, and God can do it. He just can open a door where there's
no way.
You know, I couldn't open them doors. And I knew it going in, but I didn't care. I was desperate. But yeah, that was a day.
You had an overhaul that day.
Yeah.
You know, we all know that God expects us to be ready in season and out of season. You know, at any moment, be prepared to do whatever God's called us to do. But isn't it wonderful when we find that God is instant in season and out of season?
Oh, yeah. When you're desperate and you're down and out, wow. Open the door. I don't know what else to do.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, he's good.
That's awesome. Hallelujah. Yeah. He's there when you need him, isn't he? Yeah. I'd like you to try that. Just walk in the doctor's office, say, hey, I need an appointment now.
Yeah, right.
And then go to the dentist. I need an appointment now.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Hallelujah. You see, God rules over the kingdoms of men.
Yeah.
And he gives it to who he chooses. Hallelujah. That's a good verse. I'm going to hang on to that. It's only, I don't want to read the first half of that verse because it will discourage you, but that part I like.
Well, amen. I got to say, last Sunday in the service, I mean, I was having miseries back then, and God gave me a verse. I don't know how I came upon it, but I knew it was for me. It absolutely was about for me because it mentioned things in it that pertain to the problems I was having. Mm-hmm. And so when I got home, I wrote it down. Well, I wrote it down here because I'd have forgot it by the time I got home. But when I got home, I copied it down and I put it on a card and put it right on my fridge because I thought, this verse is mine.
Amen.
And when I did that, I referred to it as like, well, Gloria will know what I'm talking about, that verse we claim about blood issues.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I said, this one is mine. For the same, it's going to be the same kind of effect for that issue, for these issues and that I was having.
Mm.
And so every day I've improved. And I claim that verse. I'll write it down. I'll share it with you later. But
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, God's word, he's faithful and true. God's word is true. And so every now and again, you know, if you need that, I just need this encouraging word. I need this particular verse. I need, you know, God will give you stuff. I know when I've gone through different things and dealing with my kids and different things, you know, God has given me verses and just given me hope. You know, JL spoke about hope last week, which was really, really nice. But, you know, we got to have that hope. And God will give you that. You know, Carol talked about a verse that, you know, I think it's Ezekiel 16:6.
Yeah.
It deals with blood issues. And every single person we've prayed over that verse over a blood issue, God healed it. Every single one. And so, trust it. Do you know what God's word says? You know, I was speaking to some guys the other night, and they were like, well, yeah, I believe in God, but I believe that you can tell right from wrong on your own. You don't have to read the Bible. And I'm like, oh, really? I mean, it is true that God wrote his law in our hearts. But how many know that if we follow our hearts, it's going to lead us down a not-so-good road? Because the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? And so when they say, follow your heart, I'm not so sure you want to follow your heart. Because your heart will take you places where God doesn't want you to be. And so I'm talking to this guy, and he's like, well, I don't think you need to read the Bible. I said, you know what? I wouldn't want to not read the Bible. Because the Bible confirms what's already in my heart, the part that God wrote in there. But it also gives me direction, and it gives me stability. You know, you might think in your heart, well, this is okay. There's another young man, you know, thinks he's got God all figured out. You know, well, this is my understanding of God, and this is, you know, what life is all about. And I'm thinking to myself, really? Because here you're sitting in a jail cell. How's that working out for you? Your concept of God, I think, is a little flawed. And so, you know, we can stand it. If you don't know what his word says, read it. I have a verse here that I have highlighted. I went through my Bible, I don't know, the other day, maybe last week sometime. I'm just flipping through, and I'm like, I wonder if there's any Bibles, any books in the New Testament that I haven't preached out of. And I would know, because I always highlight verses, and if you look at my Bible, it's all marked up. And yeah, Dave knows what I preach. He always puts the date down on the verses that I use and things like that. Well, I didn't find any markings. There's two books in the New Testament. I didn't find any markings in there. I'm like, well, that's strange. I would have thought I would have preached from all the books, at least in the New Testament. I know in the Old Testament, there's a whole lot more. And I started flipping through that, and I found, okay, yeah, I've covered a lot more of it than I think. But the book of Titus, I don't think I've ever preached a message out of the book of Titus. Dave will check me later and let me know. And so, yeah, he's looking now. And so I started reading through the book of Titus, and it talks about just some awesome things, qualities of a sound church, qualities of what elders are, what their duties are, how we're trained by God's grace. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we're trained by God's grace? Because he gives us grace for all of the mistakes that we make. And you know what? A lot of times those mistakes, they're good teachers, aren't they? Yeah. But there's one verse that in chapter 3 that I decided, you know what, if I'm going to talk about anything in this book today, I want to talk about this verse, because it kind of fits what we've been doing as a church. And by the way, before I go there, Thursdays, no dates in Titus. We'll mark one down today. Titus chapter 3 is going to be verse 8. On Thursdays, the lunch program downtown at the Methodist Church, that we found out that there's a need. They don't have anybody to fill April, Thursdays for in April. Every other day of the week, they got covered. And so we had, we started a couple weeks ago. We learned there was a gap, and so I just put out a note. Anybody willing to come and help serve lunch? Let's just go down there and help them. And what happens is you walk in, and there's a guy there who kind of directs everything, kind of helps make decisions and stuff, but it's on you. You go in, they come up with a little menu right there. You prep the food, cook the food, serve the food, clean up the food, wash the dishes, and you're out by 1 o'clock. You get there at 9, you're out by 1. And so we learned of this little thing and this need, and so God put on my heart to look for volunteers who would be willing to help out. Volunteers show up and do a fantastic job. So I heard a report that somebody who had lunch the other day on Thursday, when you all were there, said, this is the best lunch we've ever had. There was a regular that goes there. This is the best lunch I think I've ever had here. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. People heard of a need, they stepped up, and they did a fantastic job. You know, so I'll say it again. I've said it 1,000 times. You make yourself useful, and God will use you. Not only will he use you, but he will bless the work of your hands. And it'll be a wonderful time. We have a lot of fun down there, trust me. And so on Thursdays, if you're not doing anything on Thursdays, show up at the Methodist Church at 9 o'clock in the morning, sneak in the back door, go down the stairs, or there's an elevator there somehow. I don't even know how to get to that. And you'll have an opportunity to throw an apron on and help serve some people, and it'll be a wonderful thing. You'll be blessed. Ashley, you wanted to say something?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, they got to hear this, because this is funny. Thank you, Harley. Explain about the frosting, would you, dear?
So usually when I go there, I bake. So this time I had to make homemade frosting with, you know, the confectioner's sugar, I think butter and, like, vanilla extract or something like that. But I wanted to make chocolate and vanilla, but they didn't have, like, chocolate syrup or whatever, so we used hot cocoa mix to put in there to make chocolate. So what happened is I put too much liquid in there, so we just had, like, we're just scrambling around, like, literally when you go there, it's like, you know, if they don't have butter, you have to use something else, like, because everything is donated and everything is just, you know, you just gotta, you know, really think with your mind what you're gonna make. So what I did was, I think I put more butter, and then I warmed it up, and then I mixed it together, and then I just drizzled it over the top. And then they had some peanut butter, like in a, like a squeeze jar, and I just, like, did a little design over it. But what I'm saying is that with the hot cocoa, I'm thinking it's going to be, like, ugh, like, you know, nasty. But like he was saying, the reports was just like, oh, my goodness, this is the best cake ever, or the best meal ever, things like that. But the funniest part was just the hot cocoa in the chocolate. I just had to comment on that. So God really blessed my hands just by making the the chocolate in there.
No, tell them the funniest part about the peach juice. And
that. Okay. So we had to make ham. And they were like, oh, we'll put peach juice in there. So I'm like, you know, I cut up all the ham, and I'm like, okay, I want to flavor it up more. And I thought I was putting sugar in it, but I ended up putting salt in it.
Oh, is that what happened?
So, me, I'm just like, you know, I don't use measuring cups. I just pour it all in. So it's this big old thing, so I'm just pouring the salt in there, not realizing it's salt. So I'm tasting, I'm like, oh, what is going on with this? Like, maybe it's the peach juice. What's wrong? So I grab it again, and Diana, she was like, Is that what you grabbed the last time? I said, yeah. She said, that's salt. And I'm like, oh.
I didn't know what happened.
Yes, let me share this. Salt.
Let me share what happened. Ashley and the guy kind of in charge are deciding what they're going to put over the ham. They got this honey out. Ashley's ready to use the honey. She wants to use the honey, right? Well, we had peaches that day. They had a lot of peach juice. And so the guy in charge is like, well, let's just use the peach juice instead of the honey. We'll save that for another time. Okay, that'll work. You know, just something to sweeten up the ham. And so they get ready, and and now the honey's still sitting there, but Ashley's mixing up the peach juice and her salt. I didn't know it was salt. I thought it was brown sugar that she had put in there. And she's looking at me. She's going, because I crushed up some crackers to put on some green beans earlier. And she's looking at me. She goes, you got your crackers in my stuff. And I'm like, because there's chunks in it. There's chunks in it because the sugar wasn't dissolving because it was salt. I didn't know that until just now. And so then the guy leaves and goes to get eggs. And Ashley's mixing this stuff up. And she's looking at the honey. And she's like, I really want to put some honey in there. And she was already told, don't mix the honey with the peach juice because it'll be too much. And so I walk by and she's looking at that honey. I said, look at it. You're making it. You do what you're going to do. She's about ready to reach for that honey, and the guy walks back in. But here's the deal. A few minutes later, I'm off doing something, and I hear him going, ugh, this is terrible. So they dump out the peach juice and the salt, and you put some cinnamon in there, too, she said. Yeah, yeah, and then they ended up using the honey anyway. And then it turned out being the best meal they had ever. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, maple syrup, brown sugar,
Anyway, tie this back this. Now listen, if you're available, serve God. Serve Him somewhere. Pregnancy care center, lunch program. There's a I got a flyer out in my car. Fatherhood program over in Seneca County, which, by the way, next week I got to teach the love languages over there. But there's places to serve. Donating furniture, hauling furniture. That's kind of some of the stuff that God has given us to do. Stell Ward has moved up to Seneca Terrace. She could use some visitors. Kristen L. Mitchell out yonder in Gaston Road on Waterloo. Excuse me, they could use some visitors. Don Ward's in Livingworth, Living Center North could use visitors. Serve God one way or another. Let's look at this verse real quick. Titus chapter 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Constantly. And then it says, these things are good and profitable to men. And so here we are. This is a faithful saying. How many would like to see more things that are faithful in the earth? There's a lot of stuff that's not too faithful. This is a faithful saying, and I want you to affirm constantly. What does constantly mean? All the time. This moment, the next moment, this day, the next day, this week, the next week. Constantly, that those who have believed in God, who here has believed in God? I believe everybody in this place has believed in God. I don't see any strangers here. I recognize every face. And by the way, we have a brand new baby in the house. Hallelujah. Jen, what's the name? Avant? Avant. Father, we pray blessing on Avant. Lord, that child would grow strong. That child be healthy. That he would be a joy for his mom. And God, that he would be raised up in the love and the admonition of the Lord. He'd be strong in your word. He'd be strong in your spirit. And he would be a blessing to his family. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for sneaking him in last minute. I didn't mean to call you out, but I saw him. I'm like, oh, I got to pray for that baby. Constantly, those who have believed in God, that's you and me. This is what we should be careful to maintain, good works. Why do we do good works? Because we're saved. Because we're believers in God. Now, there are those who would think that, oh, well, I do good works to be saved. And that's wrong thinking. If we had to do good works to be saved, none of us would make it. But because we're saved, we do good works. Why? Because God told us, you know what, this is what you constantly should be doing. You constantly should be doing good works. These things are good and what? Profitable. Profitable. Who likes a profit? Amen. Dave's got his hand up. He just got some work after 3 months. He needs a profit. But these things are good and profitable to men. You know what I really love about God's economy? It doesn't matter who you are. If you will be faithful to God, you will profit. That's just how it is. You know, there are some companies, and I hear complaints about, well, you know, they play favorites. They, you know, only certain ones will make it to the top, and you know, not everybody's going to win. And not everybody will have the ability to advance. Those. Anybody work for one of those companies? Yeah, where it just doesn't seem fair. Like, you know what? I've talked to guys that they know more than the CEOs know because they've been there so long. They know all the ins and all the outs. They know. If they weren't there, the CEOs wouldn't have a clue what to do. And yet somehow that guy up at the top gets all the money. What? But in God's economy, it's not like that. In God's economy, you show up for work, you're going to get paid. In God's economy, everybody's going to profit. Now, I know there's a story in the Bible that talks about some started in the morning, some started in the middle of the day, some started at the end of the day, and they all got paid the same amount. And there were those that complained, well, I worked all day long. I got the same amount that guy got. He only worked a couple hours. Did you make a profit? Yeah. Then stop complaining. Right? You know, I've been serving the Lord for 30 years. If Jesus showed up today, more than 30 years, if Jesus showed up today, he would take me home with him. And if you walked in this church and you got saved just today, you lived your whole life in sin, and you got saved just today, you get to go too. I'm okay with that. Because it's profitable to all men. So my first message from the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 8. I got the thumbs up from Dave. Constantly doing good works. Amen? Today, when you leave this place, wherever it is you find yourself, if you find yourself going straight home, if you find yourself going to the store, if you find yourself going to a restaurant, if you find yourself going to a funeral, do good works. Amen? Constantly. Hallelujah. It's been a little bit of a pass the mic, and I forgive me. I'm not with it today. But, and we're not going to have service tonight because I'm probably going to be hopefully sound asleep. But we played a little bit of pass the mic, and it's been good, hasn't it? And so before we close the service, is there anyone else that would like to? Oh, there's a couple. Yeah. Let's start with the back. You have a prayer request? Who? Okay. Okay. Oh. What's her first name?
Bertha.
Bertha. Okay. All right, we're going to do that. Danny, you wanted to share something quick?
I want to thank the Lord that he answers prayers. Carol's mom reminded me that, you know, we pray for somebody and things happen, you know.
Amen.
And it's amazing because Carol and her mom and all of us, we carry a cross for praying for people. We cared, you know. It's amazing because we went to the trailer park where Ashley lives. She didn't even know this. That we pray for the people in there to be saved and everything. And here's the results right here. And there's more coming out of that trailer park. So there's nothing impossible with the Lord.
Amen. That's where you live down there? Mm-hmm. They've been praying over that spot for years.
Oh, I've been praying too.
Awesome.
But it's true, though. You know, I mean, we've seen more people come out of there saved and everything. Carol and I know, you know. And when you pray for people back then, you know, it happens. Maybe you're not be around, but it happens.
Amen. You know? Amen. Didn't you carry a cross around down there?
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife says, I'll never forget my Uncle Danny dragging that cross around.
Yeah. We prayed for the 5 and 20 and this and that, you know, and we just did it for the Lord, you know. We didn't think about, you know, ourselves. We just thought about going for the Lord, you know, praying for people and things happen. We see a lot of results, though.
There used to be a bar down there. They prayed it out.
Yeah.
There were several. And they're all gone. Hallelujah. Yeah. And the nasty movies are gone.
Or the theater, yeah.
Yeah, the theater, yeah.
Well, we prayed for, you know, we prayed for the people, the bars closed and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the thing it is, we prayed that they would find another source to get their money.
Amen. I'm not against business.
You know.
But let's let God bring in business that is healthy, that is not destructive to a community. And so, amen. Thank you. Thank you for that. I think God blesses business. People that are, you know, there's a verse in Deuteronomy that says it is God who gives the power to accumulate wealth. And so anybody who's successful, you give glory to God. Because he's the one that gave you the ability to do that. You're no different than anybody else, but for some reason he's given you a gift to accumulate wealth and become wealthy. But you know what? We need to, as believers, use that wealth in a way that's glorifying to God. Amen. stand with me. We're going to pray for Bertha. And again, remember the Shells and their family today.